Relax. It's all going to be okay. What's another interesting aspect of the gospel according to Matthew, just as an overview, again, since we're going to be spending the better part of the year with this version of the story, is that the gospel according to Matthew makes Jesus' disciples look so much better. They actually look on occasion like they know what they're doing, which is unusual. I mean, gospel according to Mark, which we've been doing in the Bible study, and in particular the gospel according to John, they're a pack of idiots that can't seem to get it together. They never understand Jesus' teaching. They never get the miracles. Every time he, you know, offers them something, they have to ask him about it afterwards. Well, what did you really mean? Duh. So they're looking a whole lot better in the gospel according to Matthew, which again is kind of a relief. You and I can relax. It's all going to be okay. And then, so that's just some background on the gospel according to Matthew. In particular, we have this passage, a mention about the second coming. We can relax about that as well. And Jesus uses this image of two people, two men. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women, which is kind of odd, given this ancient culture. I mean, this is a little bit shocking that he would even focus on women in particular. But two women, one will be taken, one will be left. What is this in reference to? Do you know? Continuation of the species. I like how you think, Dick. Come on, guys. What were you taught from the time you were kids if you were raised in a Christian religious tradition? Rapture. Yeah, it's about the rapture, right? Wrong. Again, just like the whole idea of the second coming, which in Matthew's gospel takes on a whole different hue and flavor. You know, there's no looming threat coming down the pike in the gospel according to Matthew. Same with this scene. This is not about the rapture at all. It has nothing to do with the rapture. You and I have been lied to once again, so let's just put it out there. This is about all of the various ways that Jesus goes about his life, his work, his healings, his miracles, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. All of it has to do with inviting people back into the community. I mean, for someone to be healed means they can participate in the community once again rather than being ostracized for their illness, whatever it happens to be, their malady. Now they're back. You know, they can participate fully and live a full life as part of the community. And so this section, all he's saying is God's going to continue to do that. And what's a real good idea for you and me using these characters in the gospel is to pay attention. To pay attention to the presence of God in our lives, as the entire gospel invites us to do. And when we're paying attention, when we're alive, when we're alert, and when we're looking for that 2-minute window of opportunity to be of service to another human being, to be present for someone in need, boom. Not only are we being restored to the community, but they are as well. And so there's this wonderful reciprocity that begins to take place as we do this kingdom living, as it would be described in the gospel according to Matthew. So much for the rapture, and so much for what we were taught as kids, and so much for breaking out in a sweat and being afraid all the time. Everybody can just take a nice deep breath and relax. It's all going to be okay. God is with us. And now we get to pay attention to that, be alert, and look for opportunities. Now, right next to this gospel passage was that prophecy from Isaiah, the second chapter of Isaiah, where it talks about beating their swords into plowshares. And for generations, this has been sort of the calling card for people of faith to commit ourselves to lives, living lives of peace and goodwill on this planet. And I came across a current example of what this might look like. Saw in an article about a group of young men in their 30s in the city of Baltimore who were raised in Baltimore, and you may or may not know that Baltimore is one of the more poverty-stricken and violence-ridden cities in America. Here's a statistic. In Baltimore is set to reach 300 murders and 1,000 non-fatal shootings by the end of this year. And these young men in their 30s who were raised in Baltimore, went through the school system in Baltimore. A number of them were gangbangers of various kinds in the city of Baltimore and involved in some of the nefarious goings-on and violence that takes place in Baltimore as well as in cities across the country. Somehow, these guys, these young men, went through a transformation, and they requested permission and received permission to go back into the high schools where they were raised and began to do a very particular form of teaching. And it wasn't to show high school students how to arm themselves. It wasn't to bring guns back into the schools or to get the teachers armed, you know, to deal with the violence that surrounds them. These young men went into the high schools to teach meditation to high school students who, if you've ever spent any kind of time with, you know how squirrely, no offense, Cam, there's always an exception to the rule. Cameron is one of them. But by and large, as a group, high school age young people are squirrely human beings, and who I love to work with dearly, as you know, the time I spend at Galilee and whatnot. And these guys go into the high schools and they teach these high schoolers meditation so that when something's going down, they don't respond in kind. They simply drop into a position of meditation wherever they happen to be. It's amazing. If you get a chance, look this up. Baltimore School Turns to Meditation is the byline. These young people, boys and girls, young men and women, will drop into a position of meditation and meditate right in the middle of whatever's happening. So if there's some violence that's going down at their school, they'll begin to meditate in response to that violence. If their teacher is late or has been detained or the classroom isn't open or something's not quite right, they'll drop. This article describes these high schoolers dropping right in the middle of their hallways around their classrooms to meditate. Can you imagine? So what these young men are doing, in effect, is beating their swords into plowshares and teaching our young people in the city of Baltimore how to beat their swords into plowshares. And I'm sure you could think of hundreds of other examples of this kind of activity where you and I choose to not participate in the world as it's currently constructed. You know, getting what we want when we want it, when we want it, any kind of violence that's perpetrated against people that are less fortunate or vulnerable. I mean, all the ways that the world works, you and I can choose an alternate way. And it ties right into that whole teaching in Matthew's gospel of being awake, alert, and looking for that 2-minute window of opportunity just to be of service to another human being. Welcome to the church's new year. Take a nice deep breath. And then take a moment.